Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Welcome back. Last show we had on Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer. We were talking about the bloated military budget. And I think that that topic is going to be more relevant than ever, especially in light of the discussion that we're about to have today. Joining me today are two of my very popular contributors to the Libertarian Republic. One, Mr. Josh Guckert, and Mr. Keith Farrell. Josh, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you guys here today because I want to talk to you about what's happening today. Big news: Senator Ted Cruz from Texas announces his run for the president of the United States. And it's really momentous for lots of reasons because, of course, in a post-racial America that Obama has created, we've now paved the way for Hispanics, for Latinos like Ted Cruz to get elected. Isn't that so exciting? What do you think about Ted Cruz's candidacy, his running for office? Keith?
I think it's great. I'm not first and foremost a Ted supporter, but I think he's a great guy. He advances liberty in many ways. I have some disagreements with him, but...
All right, hold on one second. Josh, are you a Ted Cruz supporter? Do you like Ted Cruz?
As far as a United States senator, I am definitely a Ted Cruz supporter. As far as a president, I don't ever see myself voting for Ted Cruz.
All right, good to know. So we know where all three is. I like Ted Cruz. If he was nominated, I would vote for Ted Cruz if he won the Republican nomination. I don't think he will. Of course, everybody says the same about Rand. But hold on, let me get back over to Keith. Keith, I want you to tell me about Ted Cruz here because you said you wouldn't vote for him. I know you're a libertarian guy, but you got a lot of, you were kind of... hawkish on the Cuba embargo. Of course, Ted Cruz is a Cuban. His father is Cuban, and he's American. I guess he was born in Canada. There's going to be a lot of there's a lot going on here. But I want to hear from you, Keith, what you think about Ted Cruz, his background, and today on the podcast we're going to talk about the legacy of Che Guevara, and then we're going to get into Rand Paul. So give me your thoughts, Keith.
I think that this is something I'm really excited about Ted Cruz on, is his identity as the son of immigrants, somebody who has a Latino background, and someone who is staunchly anti-communist and who opposes the Castro regime and supports the embargo, which I think is important to
Boo.
Keep pressure on the Castro regime.
Boo. Josh, what about you? What do you think about the embargo on Cuba?
I am staunchly against the embargo on Cuba.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's done any good. I don't really see the positives that have come out of it. I think it's an outdated Cold War policy.
It is outdated, and it's not libertarian economically. What the hell's wrong with you, Keith?
My problem is that when you have trade with a country like Cuba, you're not actually getting the liberalization, the liberalizing effects or the benefits to the people that we hope, because the regime sucks it all up.
Is that why it worked in Vietnam? Because what we could not achieve through hostilities in Vietnam, we achieved through trade with them. Boom, bitch, get out the way. Moving on. I want to talk about Ted Cruz. We got to talk about his platform. I want to talk about his what he would run on. And then, we got to talk about the fact that our boy Rand Paul, who I think most of us like, is going to be staging his presidential announcement on an aircraft carrier. I mean, is he going to fly in from a jet? We got to get there. But first off, Josh, tell me what you think Ted Cruz will run on. What issues will he highlight, do you expect? And what do you think he's got his best chance on to win? What do you think he's going to run on?
Well, to be honest, I think that Ted Cruz has sort of been situating himself over the last few years as the guy who is leaning towards libertarianism without being as radical as Rand Paul. Mm-hmm. So I think he's sort of starting to try to position himself between Rand Paul and the establishment or the base. So I think he's going to throw a lot of red meat to the base during this campaign. That seems to be something. He's a big showman, is something about Ted Cruz. He's going to talk about Obamacare. He's going to talk about the IRS. He's going to talk about Benghazi, all these, big red button issues. And like I said, I think he's someone like if you go to the base and you say, you like libertarian ideas, but you don't want to go full libertarian, then you can vote for me.
What do you think? What's your thoughts on that, Keith?
I agree with Josh for the most part. I think he's going to position himself as kind of a Reaganite. And try to go for the far right crowd that he'll probably have easier time with than Rand Paul.
I just don't like the bellicosity of Rand Paul when I see that he's announcing he's going to run for office. And somebody just sent me on Facebook something that broke my heart, but that he's going to announce in front of an aircraft carrier. Come on. Like, it's like mission accomplished. George W. Bush, is that what we're going back to? And here somebody...
Yeah, but...
Wait. Somebody sends me the Charters of Freedom. Why didn't he announce in front of the Declaration of Independence? You know, why didn't he go to Lexington, Concord, something like that? Announce like where the American Revolution started. Why is he announcing on an aircraft carrier, for God's sakes, Keith?
I think it might be in part because his largest critique, the thing that people keep calling him, is that he's an isolationist, that he's weak on defense. So it's just theatrics. He is going to be the he's running to be commander in chief of the armed forces.
I hate it. I feel like that's stupid, and here's why. Because I feel like, and Josh, I want to hear what you think about this. As a man with a background in theater, and I certainly that's what I know. It makes sense to do theatrics, but there's ways to do theatrics like we do with the Libertarian Republic, like the way we present our content that's exciting and interesting and engaging and sends a message, but that's actually credible. But it's actually credible in terms of I'll let you respond to this, Keith, but credible and stays true to your principles. Do you know what I mean? Like you can have theatrics, but one that aligns with your principles. It doesn't feel like Rand Paul at all.
Why does standing with the military necessarily detract from his principles?
You don't
think that resonates with the larger Republican base?
Yeah, of course. For mindless nationalists, I think it does. But my principles are, my things are less tangible. You know what I mean? Maybe conservatives are so weak-minded that they have to hold on to strong things and strong men and real conceptual things with the military. But you know what I'm entranced by is the idea and the ideas of liberty. You know, the idea of living your own life the way that you want to live it. You know, I don't worship the military because a military is only a means to an end. What do I care about? Freedom. You know what? Military to me is only a necessary evil. What do you think, Josh?
I think that you can definitely see in the last few weeks that Rand Paul's messaging has definitely turned toward the defense side of things. And I think that is very smart because, as Keith mentioned, that is going to be his biggest critique. So I think he has an obligation as a campaigner to direct toward his biggest weakness in the primary and the general election.
But there's ways to talk like a badass and look good on foreign policy in principled ways that advances the dialogue. This is nothing more than bald nationalism for nationalism's sake. It doesn't send a message to our enemies. If he wanted to send a message to our enemies, he would say something bold about women's rights against ISIS. You know what I mean? Like, talk about, like, you know, how non-libertarian Muslims are to their women, and that's one good reason why bombing the hell out of ISIS might be morally credible. What do you say, Keith?
I mean, you have a good point, but I think it looks presidential. I don't think it is inherently says anything aggressive to have a battle carrier behind you. I don't really see it as saber rattling.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Well, why are we talking about Rand Paul? We're supposed to be talking about Ted Cruz. So let's get back to Ted Cruz for a second, then we can bitch about Rand Paul. Ted Cruz announced today, first guy in the race. You know, he obviously wants to send a message. I mean, what's his message? I mean, what's Rand Paul going to sell? Is it against Obamacare? You know, that's what he tried to, you know, he basically had the government shut down for. What is the message?
I see him as a guy that's like Rand Paul, kind of got that libertarian Tea Party flair, but more devoutly Christian. You know, he announced at Liberty U, and he appears to be trying to identify himself with that Christian right.
God. I mean, literally and metaphorically, but just so annoying, Liberty University. Yeah, okay, yeah, seal up those social conservatives. I hope, that's the thing, is I'm liking Ted Cruz because I hope he takes away support from those venoms of viper, those viperous people like Santorum, those crazy social conservatives. And I, you know, you can be socially conservative and be libertarian, but I mean, give me Ted Cruz over Rick Santorum any day. What do you say, Josh?
I do think that one of the things that Ted Cruz is going to run into is he is sort of populism to the max, where he is a big-time flamethrower. I remember him saying, I don't know whatever happened of it, I remember him saying he was opposing Mitch McConnell for the majority position in the Senate a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
And just this sort of, you know, I'm going to say what the people want to hear, but that doesn't really, it resonates with a very small number of people. You know, it's the same sort of people who are going to support Ben Carson, you know, this sort of, we don't want these darn politicians in Washington, that crowd. But then on a broader scale, he hasn't really made many friends, and he's created a lot of enemies both in Washington and in the U.S.
And and what's fascinating about that is that, like, they're both considered kind of like outsider guys, but Ted Cruz's history is actually much more establishment, you know. He clerked for Scalia, I believe. So I think that this is sort of, Ted Cruz's whole platform is taking away from the social conservatives and looking at expanding the social conservative portion of his base. But you know, one of the things that I think Ted Cruz has kind of floundered on is, you know, his race relations, where Rand has done a really good job reaching out to black communities, minority communities. I mean, do you think that Ted Cruz is going to sort of take up the mantle of race? And if so, does he get a Trump card over Hillary Clinton, who's a woman? In social justice terms, in the terms of social just warriors, are you know, mortal enemies here in a sense. does Ted Cruz get any credibility for being Latino? You know, the question of this show, which I really want to discuss, is, you know, is Ted Cruz sort of destroying the socialists who love Che Guevara and taking conservatism for the Latinos and the Hispanics and bringing that group forward and really bringing those, because listen, social Hispanic conservatives, you know, natural conservatives should be Republicans, but they vote Democrat. And so I wonder, you know, is Ted Cruz trying to put together the right coalitions here? Has he been doing that? Is he going to do that? What are your guys' reactions to my thoughts here?
Well, I think that he is going to have to deal with some of these issues, and it would be to his benefit to kind of adopt the moniker of a, you know, Cuban American who is of the conservative mold, and that there are conservatives out there like him. Just as Ben Carson kind of shows that, you know, there are black Americans who are conservative as well. I think that, you know, could be a powerful narrative, but he's not going to come down on the right side of issues when it comes to immigration or things like Cuba to make the liberal community happy. So they're still going to consider him an outsider or not really one of them, or try to label him as some sort of, you know, I think Josh earlier online or somebody posted something about, you know, the Spanish version of an Uncle Tom. You know, so I don't know if he's really going to fit their narrative. They'll probably still try to attack him for not being in step with their policies.
Josh, what do you think of that?
Well, yeah, actually, that is one of the things we spoke about earlier in our writers group, is that I just think it's always going to be, as long as you're not a liberal, is that it's always going to be, well, you're a woman, but asterisk, you know, you're a conservative, or you're Hispanic, but you're a conservative, you're black, but you're a conservative. So I don't think that's it's going to make a difference, especially in a general election. Maybe inside the Republican Party, you might get a little more Hispanic support. But I think in the general election, if Ben Carson is the nominee, which isn't likely, against Hillary Clinton, he's not going to win black voters.
Right.
And if Ted Cruz is the Republican nominee against Hillary Clinton, he's not going to win Hispanic voters.
Well,
and
you know what I'm liking? You know, I'm really liking this competition on the right, actually, between Rand and Ted. Even though it seems to be like that they sort of eat into each other's base. I like this war of ideas going on in the Republican Party. I like it a lot more than I liked it when Ron Paul was running, because I felt like it was just Ron and morons. And and here we have Ted Cruz, who to me just really, he adds something to the debate. And I know that Ben Carson has stuck his foot in his mouth and he's not a genius on politics, but I like his intellect and I like his background. He's not, to me, just a token. I think a lot of Republicans look at Ben Carson as kind of like the token black guy, you know, whereas last time it was Herman Cain. But I'm liking this debate that's happening on the right. And I sent you guys an article from TheWeek.com. It said, hey, libertarians, don't give up on Rand Paul. And, you know, it's all about how a lot of libertarians, they hate Rand Paul. The Daily Beast declared real libertarians hate Rand Paul. And they, you know, the guy who's an author who wrote this piece for The Week says that was not untrue. I mean, he, Justin Raimondo of antiwar.com comes out and he says, I'm tired of defending this guy, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Ron Paul was much more about education. Rand is more about, you know, actually governing. But the argument of the piece, which I think is the most interesting thing, where, you know, it details why Rand's supporters are sort of upset with him. But the important things that they brought up was that, you know, every time that Rand contributes, it's always in the form of setting limits on government power, setting conditions on government power, setting constitutionality on American policy, which is why I still look at myself as a Rand Paul supporter. Now, you know, when he goes and he stands on the aircraft carrier fellas, I'm going to slap him around a little bit.
Right? I don't know. To me, it's all the same thing. He knows how to play the game, and that's what he's doing. He's playing the game of politics. Yeah, we might not like it, but if you don't play the game, you're not going to get anything done.
But okay, but here's the thing. The point is that the article says you can support him when you want to support him, and you cannot support him on things you don't want to support him on. And that's the thing. Is another thing it says in this article. It says it's good that there are so many libertarians who don't work for Rand Paul. And I thought, oh, that's me. You know what I mean? Like, here we are. We can actually be a little critical of him, whereas some of our friends who are on his campaign, like, maybe they feel how we feel, but they can't say it. They can't say it. That's for sure. You know, Josh?
Yeah, I think as far as the announcement you're talking about, he's doing it in front of an aircraft carrier. The first thing I noticed was that Rand Paul's announcement is going to happen at the Galt House, which really struck me instantly. I think, I don't know if that was on purpose or not. I would like to think so.
No. What do you mean the Galt House?
That's what the official announcement from a couple of weeks ago was. He's planning to have his rally, I guess, whenever he announces at the Galt House in Kentucky.
Oh, well, the rally, I think so, yes. But it looks as if Rand is going to be using the USS Yorktown to serve as his backdrop during his campaign announcement tour. So hold on. USS Yorktown, where is that station? Hold on. Let's see where it's at.
South Carolina.
It's in South Carolina. Oh, he's going to South Carolina, where all those hawkish Republicans are.
Well, no, he's doing a tour of all the early primary states the days after he announces in Kentucky at the Galt House.
I see. Interesting. Well, you know, boy, Rand is so slippery. I mean, yeah, at the Galt House, I'm going to be there. I'm actually going to head to Kentucky. We'll get TLR on the ground out there and do some reporting. You know, guys, we got to keep an eye on these politicians, you know, and I'm just saying that. I'm not trying to be too hard on our boy Rand, because there's a lot I like about Rand. But we got to remember, you know, Ron Paul wasn't really a politician. He was, you know, in a lot of ways, and he did a lot, you know, he did some dumb politician stuff too. But they're all politicians. You know, Ted Cruz is a politician. You know, I've looked Ted Cruz in the eye. You know, I've stood across from him and taken his picture and shot videos with him and spoken to him a few times. But he's a politician, I'll tell you guys. You know, like, so, and Rand Paul is too. You know, like, there's been more of an evolutionary process with Rand, whereas when I first met him, he was sort of a quiet eye doctor, you know, from Kentucky. And then over the years went by, as I've run into Rand, you know, more and more often out in different places, I've seen him sort of evolve into his role as a senator, and I think he's adapted well to that process. But he adapted like a politician.
Well, yeah, I think one of the important things to note is that you can see a significant change in what has happened to Rand Paul since he got elected. And I don't really think it's a negative thing, is because originally he got elected in 2010 to the Senate, which is something that his father was never able to do. His dad did a lot of the same things in Texas. He ran against Phil Gramm, who was the establishment, and got crushed in the United States Senate race. A lot of people don't know that, but Rand Paul ran against the establishment. He won as a Tea Party Republican. He came in, he got flack for talking about Title II of the Civil Rights Act. But now he's found a niche. He's on the cover of Time. He's, you know, one of the biggest faces of the Republican Party, or becoming one of them. And it's
one of the most popular senators in the country.
Yeah.
Of either party.
Right.
So then what do you think is going to happen? Let's talk about, now we can talk insider politics. And anybody who wasn't looking for the news today kind of can switch off if they like. But let's talk insider stuff here. You know, Paul's trying to differentiate himself from the other guys, right? You know, when it comes to foreign policy. But he's also trying to look hawkish. I mean, does Rand even need the libertarian vote? I mean, because we're only like 1% of the population. I mean,
no.
He doesn't need us, does he?
No.
We need him more than he needs us.
It's more important for him to resonate with the wider base, the Republican Party, and show that he will use the military if American interest or safety is at risk. Then it's important for him to show 1% of the electorate that he, you know, is hesitant. I think he's already demonstrated that he's hesitant to use military force.
He has. What do you think, Josh?
I think if you look at the libertarian strand within the Republican Party, which I look at it as the people who voted for Ron Paul in 2012. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good sample of who it is. Is if you look in Iowa and New Hampshire, Ron Paul actually got 22% roughly in each of those two early states. So if Rand Paul, if you say, all right, he takes some, like all of those, and then gets what you would, the way I look at it, I think he's going to take all of the Ron Paul voters and then maybe a quarter to 40% of the Newt Gingrich voters, because I think Newt Gingrich is sort of a paleocon sort of mold like Pat Buchanan. I think that if he starts out at 20-some percent in Iowa or New Hampshire and then only builds upon that, I mean, that's definitely a winning coalition. I think that's what he's trying to do.
Absolutely. Well, so what happens between, Rand and Ted, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz? What's really the big issue is that they may take each other's votes and then an establishment neocon gets in, you know? So all this little complaining tit for tat, little nitpicking that I'm doing, you know, right now could be what causes us to lose, you know? So we do have to be careful, you know, about how we sort of maybe couch our criticisms of our candidates. Now, Rand Paul versus Ted Cruz, I'm seeing Ted Cruz, I'm going to throw out a prediction here. Ted Cruz does really well in Iowa, probably beats Rand Paul in Iowa. We may see something I'm going to say. Predict right now a Rick Santorum victory and a Ted Cruz second place perhaps, and Rand Paul possibly is third, maybe close second. But I think that the only way for Rand Paul to win the nomination for the GOP nomination will be if he wins in New Hampshire and Nevada, where his father was able to win, and that's a strong libertarian streak there in New Hampshire. And those two important early primaries, and I think the Nevada is a caucus, those two early states are probably Rand Paul's best chance at winning, it's really his only way at winning, I think, because if he'll probably lose in Iowa, which we'll say, oh, he's probably not going to make it, but he'll have enough money to get through the nominations, at least to get to Nevada. And I think that that's really where Rand has to make his play. He's got to win in New Hampshire and Nevada. What do you guys think?
I think that's a fair assessment. I think that I think he'll do better in Iowa than you're predicting, because I think that he's had years of preparation and the ground game from Ron Paul's campaign is still there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you're absolutely right. He needs to win New Hampshire. He's got to do well in South Carolina, at least come in the top three, and he's got to win Nevada.
Mm. Yeah. Josh?
I think in Iowa, I think Rand Paul could be a number one or number two. As for Ted Cruz, I just don't see it happening, just because he's one of the few figures in the Republican field right now who's really well known and just really not really liked. I mean, I understand in conservative circles he's better liked, but still, I just think he's seen as more of a rabble rouser than an actual candidate. And also, I don't think Santorum's going to make it past Iowa.
Last time Santorum won, right? He won Iowa over Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there's he's got a campaign machine there, and those social conservatives like that. They like that Jesus stuff.
Yeah, they do. But Rand has so much more appeal than his father did.
Yeah, he does. He does. Iowa's a good state that will be a good bellwether. Rand, I think, has to come in the top three. Absolutely. New Hampshire, of course, he's got a shot, and Nevada, I think, he's got a fantastic shot, of course. So that's it, guys. I really appreciate you guys both joining us on the show. That's Keith Farrell and Josh Guckert, both writers and contributors at the Libertarian Republic. Guys, I appreciate your time. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the show. If you enjoy the show today, subscribe to us on iTunes. If you don't have an Apple device, you can also find us on Stitcher. go to the Stitcher.com website. Join us there, the Freedom Report podcast. If you really enjoy the show, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. A written review will help us spread the message of freedom all across the country and all across the world. 1 million listeners a month. Thank you for making this one of the most popular shows, one of the most popular libertarian podcasts in the entire world. Be home. Don't forget to come back every day for your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.